I'll stand in the corner, but I'm sitting down in my mind. So just begin to think of what you couldn't do. And begin to think of what you can do. Amen. As we said before, that thoughts are just word pictures in our mind. Amen. Hallelujah.
Charlie.
Yes.
Kids, I was reading something here, and you ask a kid, can you play a violin? They'll say, well, no, I haven't tried yet. You ask the adult, oh, no, I can't. Well, the teacher was watching a student color a picture, so what do you tell a picture of? It's a picture of God. He says, well, you can't do that. Nobody knows what he looks like. He says, well, they will when I get done.
Amen.
But if you keep that confidence in the attitude of children.
Yes. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's just say this Bible prayer. We hadn't said it in a while. Glory to God. This is my Bible. And if you don't have it, just raise your hand and in your mind have one. Y'all won't forget that, will you? This is my Bible. This is the Word of God. Inspired by the Holy Ghost. It has been given to me. And I am what this says I am. And I can do what the Word says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. And by faith I receive what is rightfully mine in Jesus' name. Amen. You're in a covenant with God of this universe. Amen. The covenant that was shed in blood. No greater covenant. Hallelujah. So since we're in a covenant with God, everything that you find in here belongs to you. Every promise in this book belongs to you because of a covenant. Amen. Because of that covenant. Well, today I got a couple of messages kind of rolling around in my spirit, and suddenly, abruptly, it was changed yesterday afternoon. So this word may not be very long today, but it's for somebody. Amen. So you just got to believe that that's somebody's me. Amen. So we're going to be talking about the anointing on a small thing. And how that God says, Zechariah tells us, don't despise the day of small things. So we're going to go through here. We're going to be encouraged today that whatever that you had forsaken or just kind of let go of at that moment in your life, for whatever reason you thought it was insignificant, God's wanting you to know today that that anointing is still upon that thing. And he wants to revive that within you today to believe again that it's not over. Amen. It's not over. So I found out in my relationship with God along the way that all God needs from us is a yes. All God needs is a yes from us, and he'll take care of the rest. You know, so we'll just say yes and God will take care of the rest, and we just go, and as I said so many times, he always gives us enough light for the step that we're on. And thank God for that, because if we saw the bigger picture, we would try to work it out and make things happen out of the timing of God. And God's a God of perfect timing, and as I said before, we think he's 4 days late, but he's always on time. Amen? So he'll take care of the rest. All he needs is a yes from you. A yes from you. So sometimes we concentrate on the bigger things and forget that everything starts with a small thing. Everything starts with just a seed. Everything starts with a small thing. And you know how a little acre becomes an oak tree? Because it never gave up. Think of all the weather conditions that was there to keep that acorn from producing that oak tree. But that acorn never gave up. That acorn saw in his mind, I'm going to be an oak tree one day, and I'm going to tough it out, and I'm going to see myself as a big oak tree that's going to produce more acorns, that's going to produce more oak trees, that's going to produce more acorns, that's going to produce more oak trees. Amen. That's the way it is with our lives, refusing to give up. And as we produce the fruit in our life, then we can be a light to somebody else and produce more people and bring more people to the kingdom of God. So an oak tree is just an acorn that refused to give up. So you're a child of God here this morning, walking in the provision of God, of someone that's refused to give up. I look back over the faces today and I see where life has thrown some hard curveballs at you all. But you know what keeps the people from going off into the ditch and overcorrecting? It's because they stay calm. So when life throws you that curveball, stay calm, and eventually the road will straighten out. But when we feel our edge of tire going off of the side of the road, what's the first thing we do? We panic. And that's when you flip over. So that's another word for today. Stay calm and travel on. And don't overcorrect. Amen. So on the way to church this morning, or as I passed by coming from Columbia, there was a subdivision that had started, but it's never been anything really happening there. I haven't even really been back in there. It's on the right. And closest to the road, there is a basement that has been that has started to be a house. It never was finished. And every time I pass that, I think in my mind what kind of house that would have eventually made after it was built and what a beautiful home it would have been. But for some reason, it never was completed. It had just got started. So when I passed by there at times, I wonder what it would have looked like if it could have been finished and what a beautiful home someone had started, but it never got finished for somehow, some reason, whatever, it got stalled or hindered. And sometimes that's the way it is in our life. God has a plan for us. You know, when I was thinking about blueprints and plans, I thought about small, and for whatever reason we get discouraged and we just lay it to the side and think, you know, it's never going to happen, it can't happen for me. But God has an anointing on that small thing, whether it's a career or going back to school or having children or whatever it may be. God has a plan, and the anointing is on that small thing, and he wants you to pick it back up and begin to believe again and to recover and to recover. So I want to encourage someone today, it's too soon to give up. Amen. It's too soon to give up on your dream. It's too soon to throw in the towel and quit. Amen. It's too soon, because you may just be right there at that point of breakthrough. Amen. You know, when that lady, when that woman gives birth, those of you that have children, before that baby's born, it's the most intense pain. But pretty soon you're going to hold that baby in your arms and you're going to forget all about that, what you've gone through. But God's going to give you double for your trouble. Glory to God. So give your small beginnings to Jesus, and he will supernaturally bless it and increase it. We just say the yes, give it to him, and he is the one that will bring the increase as we are faithful to just keep on keeping on. Amen? So the Israelites in the Bible had returned from exile to Jerusalem, and when they got back there, they found their temple completely destroyed, the place where they worshiped God, where God was at. They came back and they found out it was completely destroyed. So the people began to set about rebuilding the temple under the governor, under the rulership of Zerubbabel. So him and the people began to lay the foundation of the temple again. And they succeeded in getting, and in the book of Ezra, you can go and begin to read and study this out, the people began to get a restraining order against them to stop the building. And they succeeded for a while. So sometimes it may, when the enemy comes in, it may seem like that he has succeeded, but God. But God. So this temple stood silent, stood there, just like that basement I see on the side of the road. This foundation stood there for approximately 16 years. So I'm sure every time Zerubbabel went by it, he thought, I thought the anointing was on this temple to rebuild it again. So you can imagine the discouragement he felt when he passed there and all he seen was the foundation. He said, I thought it was supposed to be a big, beautiful temple where we could go and gather and find God again. So it remained there for 16 years, this small thing that God had started that had an anointing on it. Some people came along and said, it ain't going to happen. But for a while, they seemed successful. Then one day, talking about abruptness and talking about God abruptly intervening in your life, those are good things. Amen. And then one day, the word of the Lord came to a man of God named Zechariah. Praise God for people that have ears to hear when the word of the Lord comes, and they're able to say, thus saith the Lord, this is the way it is. So the word of the Lord came to a man by the name of Zechariah, and he's a man of God. The prophet began to speak, and you can find this in Zechariah 4. He says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, came this message, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. That sounds like a supernatural intervention that only a supernatural God can do. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. What are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a level ground. So whatever that small thing that started in your life that you have ceased to allow the Lord to build up on, whatever has cost you to look at that thing and say that, then you didn't look at it and say, how dare you come against the work of the Lord? How dare you come against my dream? How dare you come against my vision? You will become a level ground. Then he will bring out the capstones to shouts of God bless it, God bless it. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, and his hands will also complete it. Whatever God has given you, don't despise the day of small things. Because your hands, with the supernatural help of God, is going to complete and bring it to completion in due season. The anointing on this small thing, on this foundation that they had begun, began to be revived. And the last part of that word, it goes on to say, do not despise the day of small things. There's many translations. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. The word despise in that verse means to hold in contempt or to mock. It means to regard something as someone as insignificant. God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Hallelujah. Somebody may look at you and say, how could they? You need to look at yourself and say, well, why not? Amen. Glory to God. Why not you? Why not now? Amen. Glory to God. I want to encourage you today, little as much, when it's in the hands of God. God just wants the yes. That's little in the much in the hands of God. Amen. God delights in taking small things and making something out of it. God likes to take people that's called nobody and make somebody out of them. He wants to take your mess and make it a message to a world to confound people that says, oh my, you're kidding. No, but God. Amen. So down through history, we can see the pattern. We can see a pattern of how small things became much in the hands of God. So whatever the small thing that you have let go, don't consider it. Don't despise it. Don't consider it as insignificant. For in the hands of God, he can make something come out of it. So down through history, we can see a pattern where God had taken small things and it became much in his hands. What about the rod of Moses? Well, it's a small thing. But the rod of Moses became the rod of God and was used to deliver a nation. God anointed that rod, that small thing, and delivered a whole nation. Stuck a rock and water came out of it. A lot of people just saw a rock, but Moses saw water. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Gideon. What about Gideon? Gideon, what are you doing down there in that wine press, hiding from your enemy? What are you hiding out for? Gideon took a small army of men, 300 in number, and conquered a huge, well-equipped fighting machine. He had to get rid of a bunch of people that was weighing the army down and says, I'll just take 300 of anointed men, and we'll go and we'll take back what the enemy's stolen. It don't take but a few, church. Hallelujah. Don't take but a few. Samson, what about Samson? Took the jawbone of a donkey, a small thing, and slew 1,000 Philistines. Why? Because the anointing was on that small thing. Because the anointing was on that small thing. David, little small guy, so the word says, took 5 stones. It wasn't the stones that killed Goliath. It was the trust in God to be obedient, to put the stones in the slingshot. The anointing was upon the stones. Amen. It was the trust of David in a God. So David, the giant, killed Goliath, who had intimidated thousands of people. The anointing was up on that small thing to do what God said it could do. The witness of a small, insignificant Jewish slave girl reached the heart of Naaman, the leprous king of Syria, and her influence turned the cities of Judea. Her influence turned his heart toward God and brought both physical and spiritual healing to a nation that was in need. What about a handful of meal and a measure of oil that sustained a widow through years of famine when God blessed it? Small is much in the hands of God. Don't despise the day of small things, church. So I want to encourage you today, what little thing have you dreamed of? The small thing that you've dreamed of that may have been insignificant in your eyes, but it's not insignificant in the eyes of God.
What about Jesus? A small thing that came into the world. You know, a lot of times we have the football players and all this. It's a big fanfare when they come into the city. But here was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that was going to make the law done away with. A small thing that came without fanfare, that was born in a stable, that was going to change the world from what it changed people's lives from what it was. It had small beginnings written all over it. The interest, as I said, of demands a great fanfare of a lot of people. But when Jesus entered the world, he came without all this. The God of heaven became a small thing, a baby. He was born in Bethlehem, the least of the cities of Judah. Even in Bethlehem, the Lord Jesus denied himself in a comfortable inn, preferred a manger, a small thing that became much in the hands of God. That became much in the hands of God. So I know this message hasn't been long today, but I want to encourage you, whatever small thing in your life that you've given up on, God says it's time to recover all. Even David said, okay, God, when's it going to happen? He said, now's the time to recover all. The anointing is upon that small thing to bless it. The little things that you may think is insignificant that doesn't seem much in the eyes of people, God says, I want to bless it, and I want to make it great. Whatever you've dreamed of, God says, I want you to begin to recover that. I want you to dream again. I want you to believe again that I can take that little thing and make it much in the eyes of God. Amen. I want you to stand this morning. We're going to pray. And if you've got a small thing that you've let go of this morning, whatever it may be, you know, there's so many things that I can think of. Maybe it's picking up a ministry here in the church. Maybe it's going back to school. Maybe it's building a business. Maybe it's whatever God has put on your heart. God says, I want to revive that again. I want you to go and recover that again. And I want you to bow your head and close your eyes this morning. And if you're the one here that has that in your heart, something that you've let go of, I just want to raise your hands right now, and we're going to agree with you that God's going to revive it again. He's going to restore it again, and he's going to bring much out of it because you've released it to him. And Lord God, I pray for every person that's got their hands raised right now in the name of Jesus. Maybe it's a child that you had big dreams for, but God said, I'm going to take that child and I'm going to restore everything that I've spoken to you concerning that child. It's going to come to pass. Maybe it's your health. God says, I'm going to restore your health. I'm going to restore your health, and your latter years is going to be greater than your former years. Maybe it's something on your job that someone else got promoted and you didn't, so you just gave up. God says, it's a season I'm opening doors for you on your job, and I'm causing you to be much influence, and you're going to have much favor in the workplace, says God, because I'm going to raise you up into a position where you can have much influence over many people. Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that we have favor with you, that there is nothing impossible with you, and we just give it to you by faith right now as we raise our hands to you, that you take that small thing and you make much out of it, because you are the God of increase, and we're highly favored by you, Father God, and there's nothing impossible with you. I speak favor and blessings over these people today in the name of Jesus. We pray for those up on the prayer list today. We come into agreement with your word, and we speak healing over their bodies, those that are going through surgery, that you would guide and direct the surgeon's hands for a good outcome, Father. We thank you for continuing to give our pastors strength in their bodies, Father. Oh, Father, we just thank you that you're the God of more than enough, and that there's nothing impossible with you. Now, Father God, as we go from this place today, we speak your favor and your blessings upon these people this week, Father, for doors to open, that they are the head and not the tail, and that we have your favor today. And the church said amen. It's a beautiful day outside. Let you out early. Bob has something to say. Pray for the nations. Yes, and the upcoming the presidential election. It's a beautiful day outside. Go visit somebody today. Call somebody. Find somebody to love on. get outside and breathe the nature that God has given us to enjoy. In Jesus' name.